That's Dr. Ross Tucker. He joins us every Wednesday at this time for an entire hour. Of course, Ross, wonderful work covering both the Eagles and the entire National Football League. He's got the Ross Report. He's a CBS announcer, and he's with us right now. Good morning, Ross.
Morning. How are you guys?
Good, buddy.
Super.
Ross, an awful lot going on here. Give us and we're going to probably more spin it forward because the Saints game is going to start moving in the rear view, but just give us your biggest takeaway from that victory in New Orleans.
Well, three things, I guess. Number one, just the defense. I was not expecting that at all. That was awesome and impressive. And in particular, you know, Jalen Carter has best defensive player in the NFL potential. And the statistics don't nearly do justice as to just how dominant he was. And let's be honest, with this Eagles defense, they probably need him to be that type of player,
yep.
You know, to be an elite, elite player. So number one was just the defense, and in particular, Jalen Carter. Number two would be, you know, to not have A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith out there, and the Eagles still pulled out, and being able to lean on Saquon and Goddard is incredible. That's why you have that many, you know, elite guys, because if you don't have some, you got to be able to lean on the others. So curious, in terms of spinning it forward, Joe, as to whether or not they'll be able to do that Sunday if the Eagles don't have Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, you know, now that a team, an opponent will kind of know that coming in. And then the last thing, I think there are takeaways moving forward from this game for both Jalen Hurts and Sirianni that I found fascinating. You know, the two things that I think were by far the most interesting to talk about and what they mean for the Eagles moving forward. The Saints cage rushed Jalen Hurts. And by that, I mean most of the plays, they were not trying to sack him. If you watch, there's a reason why he had so much time. They were basically trying to keep him in a cage.
Mm-hmm.
They decided, Joe, they'd rather him throw the ball from the pocket than allow him to escape or allow him to run or scramble. I thought that was interesting. I thought it was a bad choice. I thought it was interesting. And then the Sirianni decision at the end of the first half, by far the most intriguing one he's made to me, really during his entire time.
Wow.
Because the Eagles have the biggest and probably the best analytics department in the NFL. And I know that they are very much a data-driven franchise. Jeffrey Lurie believes in it. Howie Roseman believes in it. They have a guy that all he does is help Sirianni in clock management, game management situations. He Sirianni totally went against the analytics there. I mean, there's not one single analytical model out there that would say them going for it in that fourth down situation was the right. Even if they get it, they have to call timeout and just throw the ball. Let me just finish real quick.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Sirianni made a decision that was counter to what I think is sort of the Eagles' philosophy and counter to what the math and data tells us is fascinating to me.
So let's tackle that last point because, Ross, I've said this week. I'll say it again. If the score was 23-20, meaning I got a great offense humming, I would actually advocate going for it. Now, you might choose a different play, but, I mean, the Eagles' conversion on fourth and one is an incredible percentage. You dive forward, you call timeout quickly, you take 2 or 3 or 4 seconds off the clock, you'd have about 10 or 11 seconds left, you have one, maybe two shots at the end zone. I would actually be good with that if I trusted my quarterback and my offense in the moment. Where I thought it was so dumb, to use a basic word, I didn't think Sirianni felt the game. It wasn't 23-20, my offense has been humming. It was 3-0. My offense can't do anything. That's where I thought he really screwed up, not feeling the game. What's your response?
Well, but because there's no risk-reward ratio there that's even close.
See, I disagree. I'll tell you this, Ross.
The reward, Joe, is you get one shot in the end zone?
Let me ask you a question, Ross.
That's the reward?
Ross, if Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback, would you do it?
No.
I totally if I had Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or a great quarterback, and I told my quarterback, hey, dude, in his ear, here's the deal. You're going to get one play. You're at the 14-yard line. You get one play. You have to throw it in the end zone for a touchdown or throw it away. You can't take a sack. I would trust the great quarterback. I wouldn't trust Hurts there. That's the difference in my opinion.
And I understand that. I would submit to you that even on that one play, a lot of things can happen. And what percentage chance from whatever their 12-yard line, 14-yard line, what percentage chance with the way these teams play defense now, with the zone they would have had, seven or eight guys in the end zone, the chance that they're going to be able to throw the ball into the end zone for a touchdown is so small anyway. It's probably more likely you get it picked off, actually, that I think them going for it was one of the worst decisions I've seen Sirianni make.
So tell us about the performance of the offensive line, Ross. In the grand scheme of things, the protection, how improved was it? How well did the run game function? We had so many offensive linemen rolling through there. Tell us about how difficult it is to have that sort of cohesive play when you don't have a cohesive group of guys out there on the field.
By the way, John, before I forget, I give the name Stud at Starbucks.
Oh, nice.
It cracks me up when they say stud. I go, oh, that's me.
That's hilarious.
Boy, you guys, man. Good.
So I can't emphasize this enough. You guys know through Odyssey that I go on radio stations, you know, at least seven or eight around the country every week, okay? Every single other city, all they do is bitch and moan about their offensive line. All they do is complain about their offensive line and say how bad they are, how that's the reason why they stink, all of those things. We really need to appreciate what we have here. I mean, we really, really do. I mean, they lose the entire right side of the offensive line.
Yeah.
Steen comes in and plays very well. Fred Johnson is like a journeyman guy that's been cut a bunch of times. For Stoutland to get Becton and Fred Johnson to play this well, it's like a masterpiece. They played very, very well. I will say this with a small caveat that the Saints were not always going all out to try to get sacks. They wanted to make Hurts beat them throwing the ball from the pocket without A.J. Brown. So that's one reason why sometimes they were pass protecting for 5 or 6 seconds was because, but think about this. Think about the Saquon touchdown at the end where it looked so good that people thought maybe the Saints let them score. If you're scoring touchdowns on inside zone and people think they're letting you score, but you're not, you're just running them over, that is awesome.
Yeah, very impressive.
That feels good.
By the way, Sirianni on Saquon's usage, which has been a lot through three games. We'll get to that yesterday when we asked him about it during the show. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Mike right now. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, gang. How's everyone?
Doing well, Mike.
What's up, Mike?
Very good. Very good. So on this Nick topic, you know, I've had this idea that kicking around in my mind a little bit, and I think it's finally coming to fruition here, where, you know what, I've always been uncomfortable with this CEO coach title, because the CEO, as we know, has ultimate control, and we don't think that Nick has ultimate control. Nick is really, he's more like a third coordinator. He's like the chief HR officer. You know, he's there for culture. He's there for energy.
Yeah, but Mike, we found out, unless he's lying, and I don't think he is, we found out that he has the power to override Kellen Moore and call play. And I didn't know if he had it, and honestly, I kind of thought he did not. Like, he's not as much a CEO coach as I thought 2 days ago before he announced it was his decision of which play to call on 4th-and-1.
Okay, but now it's like, okay, where does that line get drawn?
Good question.
Exactly. No, that's the point.
Good question.
When do you say, hey, Nick, I don't like that play? You know, and who has veto power on that? Because I thought Kellen Moore was deferred to as it pertained to offense.
Listen,
so does Kellen Moore have veto power on Nick's veto power on Kellen Moore?
Look, Mike, you're asking a great question, and John is too, and we don't know. You know, I mean, the way I surmise it is that Howie and Jeffrey have authorized Nick to still have typical head coach power on a game day, which is to override a coordinator if he feels the desire to do so, the need to do so. And from that standpoint, candidly, I wonder how different it is than last year.
I almost almost feel like this is Jeffrey and Howie like redefining the definition of a head coach, because this is not a head coach. This is, again, it's almost like a third coordinator. So it's just, I'm still a Nick guy. I still have belief. Yeah. Obviously, I have a lot of questions. John, here's why I have belief. Because the players have belief in him. Because he hasn't lost the players. So that's the one thing I'm clinging on to.
Mike, I hope you're right. I hope that's the truth. Yeah. I hope that these players still value his opinion. I hope that they still revere him. Because I revered my coaches. My head coaches, I wanted to do right by them. I would run through a wall for them. I hope every guy on that team feels that way about Nick Sirianni. I can't imagine that's the case.
All right, Mike, give me a big answer here. A royal fictional character.
Just one last thing. And, John, I think that's because we're of a different generation. As far as a royal, Prince Akeem.
Oh, big answer as well. Been waiting for that one also. Big, big, big answer, obviously. All right, coming to America. You know, that issue we were just talking about, let's tackle it with some of the audio. It's been, said in recent days by Sirianni and Kellen Moore. But all right, Ross, we're going to go inside the audio of some things from post game and then through other press conferences and including Sirianni's interview with us yesterday. Four pieces of audio will go in sequence of how they occurred. We'll start with Sirianni after the game, or I guess this. Well, I honestly don't remember Sunday after the game or Monday morning. I don't know.
I believe it was Sunday night.
But anyway, sometime after the game is played, Sirianni went totally on the record, very clear, that it was his decision to run that particular play on fourth down.
On that fourth and one at the end of the half, I called that, not Kellen. So I called that play at the end of the half. Kellen did not. I called it.
Why?
That's what I thought was best for the football team at that particular case. That was my decision. I did it. It didn't work. And I'll get better from it.
All right, so I admire his willingness to state that. Ree, I know you initially did not believe him. Do you still not believe him?
I don't believe it a lot.
You really think he's lying?
Yeah.
Wow. I really don't. So what's the theory behind you think he's lying? You think he's trying to protect Kellen Moore?
I don't know if it's about protecting Kellen Moore as much as it's making like he's not doing nothing.
But that's a weird one to step forward and say.
I understand.
Ross, what's your instincts tell you? Truthful or not?
I lean towards truthful.
Lean. But I like that.
A couple things. Here's the thing. He's either being honest or he's very much being unselfish and being a leader and trying to take the heat instead of having it be on Kellen Moore. And we know for a fact that he's done that before. Because of the Seahawks Monday night game last year, when he said that it was his decision for Hurts to throw the ball downfield to A.J. Brown.
That's why.
And A.J. Brown came out and said, yeah, coach was just covering for us. Mm-hmm. Hurts and I just did that on our own.
And it was ridiculous at the time.
This feels too transparent. This feels too obvious like that. Like Nick just jumping on that grenade, essentially. Hey, remember I did do that. Like, he's not having to say that. But we do remember that he did this.
So here's the one thing. I would need to hear the exact audio of how he framed it last year in December when he said that. My recollection, I could be wrong, the answer was more along the lines of, we were trying to draw a pass interference, inferring that by throwing the ball down there, that's one of the possibilities.
Yeah, he did say that.
Not so much like, look, we can look it up, clearly.
No, but that wasn't his decision to have Hurts throw that ball there.
No, Hurts
just did that to AJ.
I get.
And Sirianni just came up with, we thought maybe we could get P.I.
Yeah, but that's different than I told my quarterback to throw it deep. I don't think he said that. But we'll try to find it. All right, let's get to more because let's get to then yesterday. We have Sirianni on the show. John asked a great question. Now, clearly Sirianni did not want to specify in the answer the real answer. We're not going to give you the whole thing because he talks for like 17 straight minutes. But the beginning will tell you how he did not want to answer this question.
How often over the course of the game do you call the play?
You know, I'm not going to get into this percentage of time. You know, the way we game plan is collaborative. Every staff I've ever been on has been that way from when I was the quarterback coach to when I was the receiver coach, to when I was the coordinator, to when I was the head coach.
All right, so
it's such a collaborative effort.
He's not going to give you the answer, and he doesn't have to, but it would have been fascinating to know. So let's get to Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore on this topic was asked a couple of questions yesterday, including one, I believe it was from Jeff McLean.
Nick has final say because he's the head coach. Stout doesn't, so the hierarchy is different there. How does it change when you do get the information versus when you get it from Stout or Jason Michaels or whoever else?
I think no different than any place I've ever been. Obviously, we're all teaming up on this thing, and we're trying to get the calls in as fast as possible, and at the same time playing situational football and making decisions at a critical time very quickly. And so we all lean on each other. I think we have an excellent process here. It's been a really fun process just because of how much work we put into it during the week to prepare ourselves for those situations.
Look, here's the deal. Here's where this is fascinating and very important. He either is or is not telling the truth. I'm talking about Sirianni. I think he is. If he is, I mean, John, that is quite an alteration from what we thought. I mean, there's been this CEO head coach thing,
yeah.
And now it's like, well, maybe he actually is the CEO. Maybe he actually is the guy in charge. We view CEO almost like a tongue-in-cheek, like you're the overseer of a whole thing, but like maybe he's still got his hands on the company, so to speak. One more thing from Kellen Moore, then we'll all react, because there was another exchange, you know, similar type of topic here.
When it comes to a key moment in a game, obviously Sirianni being the head coach, if you have a play, how much do you feel you have to push if you feel the play should go a certain way?
We spent a lot of time during the week talking through every possible scenario. Again, similar like short yards, for example. I mean, you're going to carry a number of plays, and it's just a matter of what's the right time to call that one. And usually we're bouncing ideas off each other throughout the game, not just those situations, but first and second down. I think we have a really fun collaborative group on our offensive staff, and Nick's certainly a part of that heavily. And so what it allows us to do is really team up on all these different situations, talk through the possible outcomes, and make the best decision possible.
All right, so let's just all go on the record. Just lay it out there. Do you think Sirianni told the truth or not? I think he did. John?
Told the truth.
Saying that he called the 4th-and-1 play. Not said we're going for it. Said we're going for it and we're running this play.
Yeah, I believe him.
Devin?
I think he decides to go for it. I feel like it has to be Kellen Moore who decides what play to run.
You think Sirianni lied in the press conference?
I don't think he lied.
Well, he did if he didn't call the play. He either called the play or he lied.
He said in his two press conferences from last week and then this week, he has reiterated multiple times, and he almost seems a little testy when he does, I'm not going to get into this with you guys anymore. I am the one who decides if we go for it or don't go for it. So I think it could be his way of just trying to move off the topic.
Seltzer, did he lie or not?
Let me say something.
He didn't lie. I don't think he lied.
This is the big change up off of the tush push. This is probably something that they had in place for, you know, this season, a couple weeks, maybe going back to the OTAs. This is the change up.
Well, we've always known that
Saquon is going to reverse. You know, he's going to reverse out and try to get that sweep working. And
they've used that play before.
It's not groundbreaking.
No.
It is just a variation, and it doesn't seem like it's that out of context for Nick to say, "Hey, this might work here."
Well, I would advocate. See, Ross, I hear you on the numbers. Say you kicked a field goal again. If I have a good quarterback, a great quarterback, I would actually trust him. Because I think you do have a legitimate shot at 7 points, but you got to trust the quarterback, and he's got
to. But you have to get the fourth down.
No,
first,
you do. Though. But no, listen.
You have to convert the fourth down to even get to that point.
I thought they should run the freaking quarterback sneak, first and 10, one play in the end zone. You get the touchdown, you throw the ball away, you kick a field goal.
Joe, can I ask an honest question?
Sure.
Okay. Whether he's lying or not, whether he's falling on the sword for Kellen Moore or not,
yep.
Why do you think it's a big deal? Like, what?
Oh,
why are we spending
God.
This much time
Can
on
I,
it?
Well, I'll tell you why.
I think this is important. I want to know, like, because one way or the other, like, he either called
Let me answer that. It's such a simple answer. Because in January, it took 9 days for the Eagles to publicly announce whether Nick Sirianni still had a job or not. And in those 9 days, we all wondered if he was going to be the head coach anymore. When they emerged from the bunker and finally was like, all right, Nick's still our coach. We saw a changing of the guard at the offensive coordinator spot. We heard an awful lot, including from Nick himself, that he was stepping back on offense and that it was pretty much Kellen Moore's show, that Nick Sirianni would pop into meetings on offense, but not lead them, and not even be in all of them. He would pop in. And so I think the perception was for a coach who two times in a three-year career had had play calling taken from him, two times, that he wasn't very good at that, and that let's hope Kellen Moore is better, should be better, let's roll with the Kellen Moore play calls. If Nick Sirianni is overruling Kellen Moore, I think it's a massive deal because I don't think he's as good at it.
Two things on that. Number one, the only thing I know for sure is Sirianni probably really regrets that he said it was his call. whether he's lying or not. I don't think he's happy that he opened up this whole can of worms. And I also say about the CEO coach thing, like when I was with the Patriots, Belichick didn't call plays on either side of the ball.
Right, but if he wanted to say to pick your coordinator, Romeo Bill O'Brien, Crennel, whatever, we're doing
Josh
this.
Josh McDaniels, yeah, Charlie Weiss.
Then they were going to do it.
Right, and that's the same with Sirianni.
No, but that's the way it is with 31 coaches in pro football, but we had a sense that he had been emasculated to the point where that might not be the case here. And I think what we found out, if he's telling the truth, is he still has that juice.
So I have a question. Him saying he's stepping back on offense, bringing in a new coordinator,
yep,
at what point did that go from he doesn't even have the power to overrule?
Well, we wondered. I mean, to be clear, Ross, we speculated. Let's not.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss something.
No question.
Just because they brought in new coordinators doesn't mean he still doesn't oversee it or have the power to say, hey, let's do this.
Fair point. But honestly,
don't you have to on some level? If you're the one deciding whether to go for it or not or kick the field goal, don't you have to have some input as to the play call?
You ready for this answer?
If you're the one making the bigger decision?
Here's the answer. Yes, under normal circumstances. In this case, if you're good enough at it. Period. Like, yes, I want the head coach to have that power, .. if he's good enough at it.
This is something he believes he's good enough at. This is something he believes that is a strength. The teaching of the offense. He told us, like, when he was in San Diego, when he was in Indianapolis, this was what he was best at. Creating these plays, designing these plays, and then teaching these plays to his players. He likes this stuff.
Okay, look, we'll take your reaction. There's an awful lot in there, plus the Phillies. They dodge a bullet with the Dodgers and the Yankees both losing last night. But, you know, the clock is ticking now with four games to go, and the Phillies currently do not have home field advantage, and that was a setback last night.